Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We talk a lot of politics on the show, and, you know, we've obviously interviewed Lamont many times and talked about a third term many times, and it's an interesting topic for a lot of different reasons. Now, Joey, we have until what time? When do you need me to do, Sandy? Okay. All right. And, and Mark Pazniokas recently wrote about it for CT Mirror. Go to ctmirror.org. And touched on a lot of the points that we touch on a lot, too. And the headline is, it's clear Lamont wants a third term, less so what he would do. And now Paz joins us here. I'm Brian and Company. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
Listen, I'm curious, you know, and again, having read your article, these aren't leading questions, but for our audience, as it relates to the governor, he had told us he would let us know after the legislative session, and then he was kind of annoyingly coy and said, I didn't tell you when after the session I would tell you. So now here we are, you know, into the fall, and, you know, you can let us know when you think he's announcing, but why wait? Like, what's the purpose?
Well, there really is no practical purpose. The thing that has been consistent about Ned Lamont, for whatever reason, he does not like being in outright campaign mode. We went through this 4 years ago. I don't know if you remember. He had a very awkward reelection announcement. And he, you know, he basically said, well, you know, I need to create the committee to kind of get going. But, you know, I don't really want to get into politics. And it was Susan Pisowicz who had to say, look, we're running, you know. And then the next day, the governor had a public event, and he said, "Yes, I am running." And I did a story 4 years ago that just pointed out at how awkward it was. Yeah. You know, contrast that with Dan Malloy, who seemed to somewhat casually announce he was running for re-election after a bond commission press conference in the legislative office building atrium. But 60 seconds later, the email blast went out, the video went out, the fundraising appeal went out. I mean, it clearly was teed up, and that was a very deliberate thing. So, I mean, this is just one of the little oddities of Ned Lamont about, you know, things that are overtly political. So he appears to be headed to the same place he was 4 years ago, which is shortly after the municipal elections. He'll make an announcement. Now, the other thing you need to remember about Ned Lamont, that really, it doesn't matter. As a self-funding candidate, you know, it's not like he needs a committee in place so he can begin raising money and spending money, because that's really the legal significance of having a campaign committee. And it doesn't apply to him, you know, and as an incumbent, he doesn't really need to expend a lot of money early on, you know, all the powers of incumbency is that just, you know, you campaign by being out there as governor. And that's what he's been doing all summer.
You know, we have to pause in a minute and then we'll come back for a larger block to talk about it. But, you know, there's been some headwinds, Mark. I mean, the pure disaster. The housing bill was kind of a disaster. Diamantis is now back in the news. The Connecticut Sun investment suggestion was not well received. You know, I want you to maybe give us 30 seconds on it, but then we can expand the conversation into, like, why would he want to do this again?
Well, and that's the question. He does not. There is no, like, single thing that he points to and says, I am dying to do in a third term. I couldn't do in a first and second. Other than he believes the course he has, particularly regarding finances, which has been the cause of some friction with people who think the state needs to be spending a little bit more on right. some unmet needs. That seems to be what's driving him. Look, on a personal basis, I think you know, his wife is not going to retire. She's got the great work-life balance of, you know, she's a venture capitalist. Her married daughter and their grandkid are down the street or nearby in any event. And so, you know, life is good that way. Yeah. But no, that is the question. I mean, there is not clarity as to what are his ambitions for third term.
Let's put a pin in that. And then, because we'll talk about what sort of grand, beyond just further paying down pension debt and leaving the state in good fiscal shape, but which can only get, it can't get better than it is, so it can only get worse, actually. We'll continue here with Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror. I'll just put him on hold here, and then we'll come back and have a full block with Mark. Again, if you want to read his stuff, it's very comprehensive at ctmirror.org.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's continue with Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror here on Brian & Company. We're talking a lot about Governor Lamont and a possible third term. You know, the nuanced conversation should shift. I do want to talk about some of the issues that have been a bit of a drag, but I want to get into opponents. You know, Ryan Fazio, the state senator, seems to have a lot of support at the Capitol. You have Erin Stewart, the mayor of New Britain, whose name's been bandied about for years now, even though she's only 38. And then on the primary side, there's Josh Elliott, the state rep, the proud progressive. Now, I'll give you, you know, sort of it's not an out on a limb hot take, is that it seems that practically, whether Elliott just wants to get his message out, all three are sort of like pushing the youth side of things, but I also think that they're really talking about 2030 more than anything, right? And because the odds of them beating Lamont, I don't know. They seem long from an objective standpoint. He's still pretty popular, and he can spend a ton of money. How do you view the opposition here?
Well, I think Josh Elliott, in part, really wanted to do one of two things. One, either try to make the case to Governor Lamont that it would not be a complete cakewalk to the nomination, but Josh's campaign has not really become the catalyst for people on the left who are opposed the governor. The other thing is there's an effort to get the governor to maybe move a little bit to the left, to get serious about negotiating a revised version of the housing bill he vetoed, some things like that. On the Republican side, it's difficult for a Republican right now in this state, even though we went a long stretch where Democrats could win every office in Connecticut except governor. They will be up against it. And also, remember, Republican is going to be facing Donald Trump dominating the news, and that is an awkward thing for a Republican in a blue state. But look, the one encouraging thing in the polling for the Republicans is, what pollsters would call kind of the third term fatigue factor. Even though Ned Lamont does well in approval ratings and really all the polling, if you take away his disastrous first year that was dominated by a failed effort to get highway tolls, his approval ratings have been solid, if not exemplary. But the last two surveys, University of New Hampshire has done polling in Connecticut, and they show people are kind of like, about the idea of a third term, which does not seem to be a reflection on Ned Lamont, the governor or the person, as opposed to after two terms, people kind of get itchy for a change sometimes. Yeah. Now, is that enough to translate into a successful challenge by either Ryan Fazio or Aaron Stewart? Who knows? We'll see how that plays out next year. But clearly, most of the Republican operatives I talk to think it's really an uphill battle for a Republican, particularly when you're going up against a Democrat whose brand has really been fiscal conservatism or centrist. And so if you're Republican, where do you go on that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I've said many times, because I came to Connecticut from Massachusetts, I mean, he's kind of like Charlie Baker, and Charlie Baker is a Republican.
Charlie Baker. So, he's a Democratic Charlie Baker.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's smack in the middle. I do think that both Stewart and Fazio have a lot of political talent. I think in an open race, it could be very interesting. So I feel like they're trying to be the person that comes out of this one so they can be in the front, because they're both so young. I mean, they could wait 10 years and still be young. I mean, let's just be honest about them. We're talking with Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror here on Bryan & Company. I'm curious about these issues. I make a list of things that have been difficult, and I mentioned them a few minutes ago. PURA, the housing bill that you mentioned, Diamantis, which goes to trial today, which, as Lamont will point out, he didn't hire him, but he did fire him when he found out about it. And the concept of using pension funds to invest in the Connecticut Sun to keep them in Connecticut, which was not – I'm actually quite cool with it, but most people are not. And are any of these issues big enough to create political problems for him?
I don't think anyone by themselves are. The question is, do you get any critical mass? And, the pure thing – I think you can make a case. It has shown some management uncertainty in dealing with a situation that really has been bubbling around for about 2 years now, which is, how comfortable are you with the leadership style of Marissa Gillette as the state's top regulator? This is normally an agency that gets no press, no attention, and there is a degree of distance from a governor, because this is an independent agency once you make the appointments.
Right.
But Ned Lamont has kept people on that authority on unexpired terms. So, in other words, there's kind of been a leash to the governor. Well, that has been the situation. Once you appoint them, they have a term. It's a set term. They're on their own. But when you are serving an unexpired term and the governor can replace you at any moment, that really makes them the governor's problem. That gives the governor a greater degree of ownership about everything that's gone on at PURA. Now, Ryan Fazio is on the Energy and Technology Committee. Can he turn that into enough of an issue that really grabs the average voter? What the average voter is angry about is electric rates. And the irony is Marissa Gillette, the chair who's on the way out, was very aggressive at dealing with the utilities, the regulated utilities. So, you know, that's an X factor. Can you turn it into a real issue? Diamantis, probably not. Again, nobody has raised questions about the governor's integrity or honesty. But again, when you have issues like this where someone's going to trial in a corruption case, it does reflect on a sitting governor about management and oversight. You have some other things. You know, the governor's got he's in the middle of negotiations with most of the unions. The only one he settled with are the state police. That could be potentially kind of bumpy over the next few months if he doesn't resolve that. So the question is there anything that one of the Republicans, and remember, the Republicans will be fighting among themselves until the August of next year, right? That's when we have a primary. We'll see. We'll see. And we'll see how big that fatigue factor actually is. You know, do people just get to the point where they want something different?
We're talking with Mark Pazniokas here from CT Mirror. Again, great stuff at ctmirror.org. We talked to Lisa Hagan down in D.C. A lot of good stuff. My last question here, we got about 2 minutes. It relates, if you have any thoughts on the first congressional district. I mean, obviously, it's been an interesting surprise to see four people primary John Larson. I'm not sure all four will get on the primary ballot, but we'll see what happens. But it clearly, you know, with Luke Bronin and Jillian Gilchrist, you have people who have more Bronin than Gilchrist who have some political oomph behind them. They probably don't have the same name recognition, but this is not some random person waking up and saying they're going to do this.
No, and congressional primaries are a little bit more doable for a challenger than, you know, taking on the governor, for example, because the geography and the amount of money you need to spend. Now, both John Larson and Luke Bronin, I think they will report some pretty impressive numbers in the next few days when the quarterly finance reports are out. You know, I don't know how well Jillian Gilchrist will do as a state lawmaker who's always been participating in the public financing program. And the public financing program has a lot of great aspects to it, but it does not give you a great fundraising base. So, you know, that will be a factor going forward. Look, John Larson, you know, I think everybody believes he still is the favorite over name ID. And again, I don't know that there's any one issue. You know, Luke Bronin and Jillian Gilchrist are not pointing to things in his voting record they object to. They're making the case that it's time. It's time for generational change. You know, he's 77. He's been there 28 years, and it's, you know, they're saying, look, it's just time for change. The Democratic Party needs some fresh blood. You know, they're still trying to come back from the disastrous presidential cycle, looking ahead to the midterm. So that's really, the basis of their challenges. Yeah. And, you know, we don't see that. You just don't see that in Connecticut.
Mark, it's always good to catch up. I really appreciate the time, and thanks for sticking around through a commercial break to have a more comprehensive conversation. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, Brian.
All right, Mark Pazniokas. Again, ctmirror.org. You can read all of his stuff. He's a veteran, has decades of experience and knowledge, and I always learn from it. So,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.